The United Kingdom, formerly an empire actively pursuing control of the world, is now a land heading the Commonwealth along with its multiculturalism. But with recent violent attacks popping up in random British cities, largely perpetrated by ISIS or ISIS sympathizers, Britain's feeling of unease when seeing British Muslims has increased. This increase has led to counter-violent and revenge attacks by largely far-right whites, exemplified in the recent Finsbury Mosque attack, as well as the London acid attacks. It although both violent in nature, mainstream media in the UK, as well as globally, has represented these incidents differently. Speaking about the misrepresentation of perpetrators of violent attacks, this is what leading analysts Mehdi Hassan and Reza Aslan had to say.
As usual, there's a disconnect. Islam is not what Muslims do. Absolutely. Why do we judge a religion by its practitioners? There are lots of mad Muslims, just there are lots of mad Christians, Jews and Hindus. I don't judge Christianity on the basis of what George W. Bush did in his 8 years as President of America. I don't see why Islam should be judged on the basis of what some Muslims do. And just to answer your specific question, which is Islam misrepresented in Britain? No doubt about it, and mainly by my colleagues in the misunderstood. Well, it is misunderstood because, unfortunately, my colleagues in the media make sure that's the case. You look at newspaper coverage of Islam today. There was a study done by Cardiff University. Two-thirds of stories published about Islam and Muslims between 2000 and 2008 contained the idea that Islam was a threat, backwards, dangerous, or a source of problems. Yeah. The most common adjectives used about Muslims in the press were extremist, militant, radical, fundamentalist, fanatic. It is open season on Muslims in the press. Absolutely. Journalists can now say things about Muslims that they would never dream of saying about blacks, gays, or Jews, yeah. And this is a scandal. Absolutely.
It's often the case that the loudest voice is going to be the voice that is heard, that's going to be drowning out the voices of moderation. You know, people always ask me all the time, why don't we see, you know, the voices of moderate Islam in the media? Well, there's a very simple reason for that, because it's boring. It's not news. News is violence and sex and threat. And so it's only natural that that's what we hear about when we turn on our television. But I think we need to be careful not to make the fundamental mistake of confusing the loudest voice for the majority voice.
The care given to non-Muslim victims are largely by Muslims, while media attention and governmental assistance is not as high. Jamil Mukhtar was recently the victim, along with his cousin Rashim Khan, while celebrating her 21st birthday, of an acid attack by a far-right white extremist. Mukhtar comments on the desertion he felt from the media and the government.
And I honestly feel that if this was a white person that got attacked by an Asian person, he'd be caught within 24 hours, he'd be all over the news, there'd be a national manhunt. I've been left here, and my cousin's been left here, to just shrivel up and wait.
I spoke to Director of the Association of British Muslims, Paul Salahuddin Armstrong, as well as author and journalist Tasneem Nazir, about the feelings of Muslims in Britain toward the increase in anti-Muslim attacks and media coverage of it.
Whenever you get like a terrorist attack happen, they are quicker to call it a terrorist attack if the perpetrator is of an ethnic background and appears to be Muslim. Whereas, on the other hand, if it's someone who's a white person and probably Christian background, that they will look for other things quicker rather than, you know, seeing this as a terrorist attack. A terrorist attack is a terrorist attack. And, I mean, the way Muslims are being misrepresented in the media, and also these attacks are called revenge attacks. So whenever the far right do what is equivalent to a terrorist attack. It is a terrorist attack. You know, what happened at the Finsbury Park Road Mosque, if what happened on London Bridge is a terrorist attack, that is also a terrorist attack. There is no difference in the type of attack used. There is no difference in its effects on the people that are affected. So it is the same thing. And yet, they were slow to call the attack on the Finsbury Park Mosque a terrorist attack. It seems to be, I mean, I don't know whether it's racism that is in the, you know, maybe subconscious racism. I'm not accusing people of conscious racism, but I don't know if there's subconscious racism in the media. But there's something up, because this does not make sense. And we have to have, you know, clear across the board, you know, when these things happen, whatever we call them, they have to be called the same thing for everyone. And the other, what I was going to say about revenge attacks is they call these revenge attacks if the far right attack Muslims in response to ISIS attacks. Well, hang on a minute. ISIS kill more Muslims than anybody else. They are the worst enemies of Muslims. So how can it possibly be a revenge attack when you attack Muslims based upon, you know, a response to ISIS? You know, this in itself, how is that revenge? You know, revenge is, if well, I'm not saying whether people think revenge is right or wrong, but revenge is when you get back at someone who's done something to you. Well, it's not. If you're attacking a group of people who are actually victimized by the very same enemy who's attacked you, then you are actually just helping them. You're not doing revenge.
Well, in the UK itself, you know, you get a variety of print and online media, and but we can see with the recent attack on Finsbury Park, the way that the perpetrator was framed within the media to be a lone wolf. He was also, you know, also said in one headline that he may have had mental health issues, and there was, you know, things like excuses to kind of humanize him. Whereas as soon as a Muslim, well, they're not really Muslims, but allegedly, you know, they are under the name of Islam, they use a guise and to do carry out you know, violent attacks, they then straight away, you know, name them as terrorists. And I think this angers a lot of people as well, because we feel as Muslims that we're quite targeted, especially within the mainstream media, and the rhetoric and language that they use needs to be changed. It needs to be more fairer and just, as they do with any other religion. I mean, we don't really hear, you know, any other religion being brought up to describe terrorism or terrorists or even extremists. And I think it should be the same for Muslims as well. As my latest article explains as well, for Middle East Eye, you know, it's the first time in the UK. I've been born and bred in London, but this is the very first time I've actually felt that real fear, having experienced Islamophobia firsthand when I was actually approached by an Islamophobe, an older man who was aggressively targeting me, cursing me. And at that time, I had all my kids with me in the pram and, you know, two older kids. So they're understanding age, they're obviously scared, you know, who's the stranger coming up to mom and, you know, just shouting. And it was very a traumatic experience, really, because, you know, we feel frustrated because we have nothing to do with the acts of ISIS and, you know, better call them Daesh, to be honest. I mean, we have nothing to do with them at all. But unfortunately, the ignorance that prevails from these far-right groups and also from racist and discriminating individuals, you know, can impact ordinary Muslims. We've seen that with the tragic, you know, death of Sister Nabra Hassanan and in Virginia, which was so upsetting. And it's just getting worse and worse on a daily basis. I hear some of my friends, you know, some sisters in London who are fearing to even now go and do ibadah and worship in the mosque because of fear of, you know, going to Isha prayer even, you know, just thinking that somebody might come and attack them, because there has actually been people that have been approaching them, and to see that this is in, you know, the West, this is in the UK, that is happening, and some people can't even believe it. But, you know, it's just happening everywhere now. You can see that from America. And I think the predominant rhetoric also where Donald Trump has also aired his views very, you know, openly against Muslims with the Muslim ban. This also plays into Islamophobia and also kind of giving these right, far right groups the green light to, you know, get other people to kind of attack, verbally attack Muslims, so to speak. And there was another case recently, which I documented, which was a flagship morning show in the UK called Good Morning Britain, had called one of the former EDL leaders to speak. And he was very insulting against the Quran. He actually had a copy of our Holy Quran, and he was just flinging it around and saying all sorts of remarks. And, you know, these kind of things for people who are ignorant, it will make them more angry. And, you know, there may be people who might have actually listened to him and then gone on to incite more hatred towards Muslims. So I think the media has a really big responsibility on who they give a platform to as well.
Yeah, now when it comes to the response of the ordinary, you know, Briton that you find after these attacks have taken place, I've heard many people who have been affected by these Islamophobic attacks, you know, people physically abusing people or verbally, oftentimes the people that are surrounding that incident, they don't do anything about it. That's quite different to, you know, maybe, you know, many years ago where people would actually, you know, give a helping hand. What do you think the cause of that is within the British society and also the world at large?
I think they're reluctant, you know, to get involved sometimes, and it's just a sad thing. I mean, as in the case when I was, you know, verbally attacked by an Islamophobe, there was actually a few of the people who were coming up and telling him to be quiet and kind of ushering him away, which he wasn't. But they could have, you know, probably there could have been more intervention from the public. And the reluctance from the public is also probably with the mixed messages within the media as well. You know, some people have their own views. They might not openly share it, and they might not be openly willing to help. But saying that, there are positive stories as well of people coming forward and people sticking up for Muslims too within Britain. So not everybody, you know, is Islamophobe. There are people who are very, you know, understanding and religiously tolerant. But unfortunately, there will be a few who might even sympathise with far-right rhetoric.
In contributing to a more positive image of Muslims within you know, the multicultural yet closed society at times, certain attitudes within Britain, do you find that the moments after an attack were to happen, or, you know, the experiences of many other people, that's an opportunity to change people's mindset? And so what I'm asking you is, what was your response when that happened to you, when you were verbally attacked, and what should the response of Muslims be in order to, you know, better the image of Muslims within just a general public?
Well, I handle the situation in a very calm way. I think we should, you know, refer back to the Sunnah in the way we handle people and the way we react to this. Obviously, we do feel upset. We're humans, but we have to react as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did, in a calm way, ensure that better interfaith understanding prevails. And the only way we can do this is, I think, you know, through the pen, through dialogue, through perhaps even better interfaith events, and also challenging the rhetoric within the mainstream media is extremely important. I do also feel that in some ways the governments do have to get involved. There should be some kind of legislation to hold those accountable who do carry out these anti-Muslim hate crimes, or, you know, anti-Christian, any religion who has to go through this. There should be some kind of legislation involved for the perpetrators as well, and for those groups of people who are inciting hate. And once that's done, I think that could actually really help in changing the landscape of what's happening with the rise of Islamophobia.
Media houses are conveyors of news and opinions. While some are explicit with the agenda, others are not. This leads readers, listeners, and viewers with opinions formed for them. As consumers, we need to be wary of misrepresentation of all kinds, and as media personnel, we must adopt an agenda of fairness in showcasing arguments and solutions. For VOC, I'm Yasin Kippi.